A man was sitting in his living room reading an article that said that the pessimist says that the glass is half empty, and the optimist says the glass is half full. Just at that moment, his wife walks in and she says, "How come my drink is half gone?" And he says, "Because you're a pessimist." We all know that kind of people, don't we? The glass will always be half empty. The type who always looks for a reason to be negative, no matter what. Then there's the half full type. Even when things are tough, they look for reasons to keep a positive attitude. Her name was Clara Walker. She was attending the Port Huron Church of Christ when my wife and I started attending there many decades ago now. And when we first started, Clara was coming in with a walker. And it wasn't too long after that that she was coming in with a wheelchair. But she would transfer out of that wheelchair into her pew. And not too long after that, she was not transferring into her pew anymore, but coming into staying in her wheelchair. The time came when she was no longer in a regular wheelchair, but in an electric one. And then, of course, the day came when she was no longer even physically able to attend church anymore. Clara Walker had ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. And every time you would greet her, she was an older black lady, and you know, so you didn't call her Clara. It was, "Sister Walker, how are you today?" And her answer was always the same: "I'm thankful. I'm thankful." As she watched her life slowly ebbing away, her answer, every time you could depend on it, would always be the same: "I'm thankful." We just heard the scripture being read to us, penned by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. And Paul, when he was in prison, was reflecting in this letter that he was writing about the fact that there were some people who, with impure motives, were preaching the gospel. He doesn't say what those motives are, but it was probably to try to get more converts than Paul or have their own following or whatever. And Paul's response to that, he said, "Whether it's from false motives or from true, Christ is preached, and because of that, I rejoice." Paul was a half-full kind of guy. He was the kind of guy who looked at the bright side. "Because of that, Christ is preached, and because of that, I rejoice." Paul goes on to say that, you know, he doesn't know what lies ahead for him. When you're a Christian in a Roman prison, you don't know what lies ahead. He could be released. He could be executed. And Paul's response to that was, "I'm not sure which is better." Paul talked in that passage about, let me find it so I don't quote it wrong. Verse 19 of Philippians 1, "For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance." Then he goes on in the next verse and says, "I eagerly expect and hope." What do you expect that Paul's eager expectation and hope is, having just talked about his deliverance? Probably not what he's going to say. He's talking about his deliverance, and then he says, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. That was Paul's eager expectation and hope. Just as Clara Walker was thankful, regardless of the circumstances that she was in, the Apostle Paul was thankful, regardless of the circumstances he was in, regardless of people preaching with impure motives, trying to stir up trouble for Paul while he's in prison, regardless of the fact that he doesn't know whether he's going to live or die tomorrow. The only thing that mattered to Paul was that Christ be glorified in his body. Paul is thankful. He's thankful for his captive audience. The whole palace guard has heard the gospel because Paul's in prison. He's thankful that others are preaching the word more boldly. He's thankful that some, even though they're wanting to make trouble for him, are preaching the gospel. And he's thankful that whether he lives or dies, there's good to come from it. If he lives, he gets to keep preaching the word. He gets to keep building up the churches in their faith. And if he dies, he gets to be with God. As I was thinking of a message to bring to you today on Thanksgiving weekend, I thought, you know, we've all heard so many Thanksgiving sermons on how blessed we are, on the land of plenty that we live in, on the fact that we never know hunger or exposure, of the fact that we have families, that we have loved ones, that we have people who care about us, of how blessed we are to have a Christian community, of how blessed we are to have a great God who loves us, of how blessed we are to have salvation, to have that ongoing forgiveness of sin. And all of that is true, and all of that is fantastic. And all of that we know. But there are times when we have festive occasions, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever, and life is tough for us for whatever reason at that time. And I wanted us to stop and think about the fact that even in dark times, we are called as Christians to be thankful. Second Corinthians chapter 2, Paul again. Second Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 14, Paul says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession, and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task?" In the Roman world, a conquering general would return to Rome with a great parade, and most of the people participating in that parade were unwilling participants. They were the conquered. They were the captives. They were the ones who were being led through the streets. "See what I got?" Some of them, at the end of the parade, would be pardoned. Some of them, at the end of the parade, would be imprisoned. Some of them, at the end of the parade, would be executed. Whatever the outcome, it was still humiliating to be paraded through the streets of Rome as the prize. Cleopatra is quoted as having said one time, "I will not be led in triumph." It didn't matter to her what the alternatives were. She was not going to be humiliated in that way, being paraded through the streets of Rome. But conversely, Paul here gives thanks to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession. Why would Paul be thankful for being a captive in a triumphal procession? Because God uses us to spread the aroma of Him. The incense that accompanied these processions was a smell of victory to the Romans, but it was a smell of death to the captives. And Paul says here that he's aware that he is that aroma and that he smells like victory to God, to Christians, and he smells like death to those who are not Christians, to those who are perishing. So Paul puts a really interesting spin on this concept of being a captive in the parade. Because truly, Paul was the captive. Paul had been conquered by Jesus. We all know the story of Paul on the road to Damascus, where he is blinded by the light, led into Damascus. Where for 3 days and three nights he is blind and praying until Ananias comes to him and preaches to him the gospel. And Paul gives his life to Jesus and is baptized. So truly Paul was the captive, conquered by Jesus. But the beautiful thing is, when Jesus conquers us, He allows us to turn around and join the conquering team. Thanks be to God, who always leads us as captive in Christ's triumphal procession. Because we are allowed to join the conquering team, are we a captive? Yes and no. It's the same concept as in the old law. Slaves had to be freed every 7 years. But if that slave didn't want to be freed, he could go to his master and say, "I love you, you've treated me well. I want to continue to live on your property, to serve you. I want to be your slave for life." And then the master would take the slave to the doorpost, punch an awl through his ear, and his ear is pierced, signifying that he is a slave for life. So is that slave free? Depends on how you look at it. Because he's made that choice for himself of his own free will, he kind of is free, and yet he's a slave. May we be forever grateful to God for gaining the victory over us and then turning our defeat into victory in Jesus. Paul again, 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 12, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer, and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I had acted in ignorance and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus." Paul is thanking God here that he was considered trustworthy, that he was appointed to God's service, even though he had been that violent man before, even though he had been in opposition to Jesus. But do you know what God said to Ananias at the time that, or Jesus said to Ananias at the time he was sent to Paul? Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. That was what Paul had to look forward to as a servant of Jesus, how much he must suffer. And yet here's Paul writing to Timothy saying, I thank God that I was considered trustworthy. The suffering didn't matter to Paul. He was thankful regardless of it because he got to be a servant of Jesus. Let us be grateful that we are considered worthy. Paul again, Paul's a thankful kind of guy, isn't he? Philippians chapter 4 this time. Paul says in Philippians 4, starting at verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As Paul addresses the concept of anxiety with the Philippians, he urges them to reject it, to reject anxiety. And he urges them to replace it in every situation, including the anxiety ones, to replace it by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Paul says that being thankful is a very real part of dealing with the challenges in our lives, of dealing with those dark times when we're not feeling very joyful, when we're not feeling very thankful. Paul says, you know what? You need to open your eyes and see that even in life's dark times, there are still things for which we can be thankful. Dear Clara Walker, I'm thankful. Paul says, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let us be grateful for the good in our lives that can still be found in the midst of challenging situations. Even when things are tough, we can look for the good around us. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul again. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A similar passage to that is 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's verses 16 to 18. But I want to really zero in on this Ephesians 5:20 passage. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the other passages, we've seen be thankful even in the midst of your problems. Open your eyes to the fact there's still good things happening. But the Ephesians 5 passage says, be thankful for everything. That brings a new spin on things. It's one thing to be thankful while I'm in dark times. It's a whole nother thing to be thankful for the dark times. We talked in our Bible class this morning about the fact that dark times happen. And they're to be expected. It's part of the human condition. It's what we do with those hard times, with those dark times, with those challenging times. Do we allow them to remind us that we need to rely on God more? Do we allow them to draw us closer to God in those times of need? Paul lived this out in his own life. In talking about his thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, he starts halfway through verse 9 saying, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's when we are at our weakest that we are most dependent on God. Again, we should be dependent on God all the time, but we are driven to that dependence when we are at our weakest, when we are at our most vulnerable. Paul was always glad to praise God in the face of and even because of his suffering, because he knew that challenging times puts us in positions where we can learn to rely on God's strength, which will result in far greater glory to God than what we might have been able to accomplish on our own. Be thankful to God for the challenges that he allows to come our way. These can refine us as we learn greater dependence on God, on his strength, and on his grace. Johnny Erickson Tada. I don't know how many of you know who Johnny Erickson is. She's a lady just slightly older than me who, as a late teen, had a diving accident that resulted her in being quadriplegic. She is completely dependent on others to care for her, to feed her, to clothe her. And she has been a spokesperson for God in the Christian's response to disability. I want to read to you her words that say what I couldn't. I always say that in a way I hope I can take my wheelchair to heaven with me. Now, I know that's not biblically correct, but if I were able, I would have my wheelchair up in heaven right next to me when God gives me my brand new glorified body. And I will then turn to Jesus and say, Lord, do you see that wheelchair right there? Well, you were right when you said in this world we would have trouble, because that wheelchair was a lot of trouble. But Jesus, the weaker I was in that thing, the harder I leaned on you. And the harder I leaned on you, the stronger I discovered you to be. So thank you for what you did in my life through that wheelchair. So let's learn from Johnny Erickson with quadriplegia, from Clara Walker with ALS, from Paul in prison with a thorn in his flesh, that thankfulness, not only despite challenges, but even because of challenges, is the God-honoring response to which we have been called. Because the glass is not half empty. The glass isn't even half full. The glass is overflowing. With God turning our mourning into dancing, turning our sorrows into joy, turning our weakness into strength, our cup is overflowing. Just yesterday, as I was putting the finishing touches on this sermon, I noticed a new Facebook post from a friend of mine. His wife is dying of ALS. I want to read you exactly what he said. "It's Thanksgiving weekend in this beautiful and free country that I'm grateful to call home. As I sit here with Lori at the hospital, a few things come to mind on what I am thankful for. For friends, family, and church family. For the kindness, support, and prayers through difficult times. For music, smiles, laughter, and faith. For tears, hugs, and love. For the doctors, nurses, PSWs, staff, and our healthcare system that are all caring for Lori. It could not be any better. For my most awesome and caring kids, I am so proud of them. And for the most special person who I met almost 40 years ago, who continues to smile even when ALS is kicking the stuffing out of her. It has been mentioned from the specialists that her ALS journey may be complete in a few weeks or less. So we are thankful for each day that we are blessed with. Gratitude and thankfulness runs deep this weekend. To God alone be the glory." That, beloved, is the meaning of always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. There was a song I wanted to sing today, and it is in our books, but we don't know it. "Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times, now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant, balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and stormy fall. Thanks for tears, by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayers that thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns their stems contain. Thanks for home and thanks for fireside. Thanks for hope, that sweet refrain. Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope in the tomorrow. Thanks through all eternity." A beautiful song that mixes thanks for the good stuff with thanks for the tough stuff, because they're all part of life. They're all things that God has allowed to come into our lives. And he's God. He gets to do that, not because he's on a power trip, but because he knows what's best for us. And our response, we are called to be the ones to be thankful for what God allows into our lives, the good stuff and the bad stuff, knowing that they're working together to build within us the character that will be a joyful character. And so this Thanksgiving, while reflecting on the things we are grateful for, family, friends, good food, the list goes on and on and on, let us always also remember to be thankful that we are captives of Jesus, because he has turned our captivity into victory with him. Let us be thankful for the good things in our lives when we are in a position where everything seems to be going wrong. Let us be thankful for the challenging things in our lives where we can be refined and strengthened by God himself. And let us be thankful for the great salvation that we have, for our victory in Jesus. So let us sing, Victory in Jesus.